now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the cooler Shout Out. I'm Ali Shilton.
And I am the fabulous co-host, Ezra Peregrine. Tonight we chat to Joelle at the Normal Anomaly in Houston. What began as a platform for telling stories has grown into an organisation working to change the systems behind them.
That and a lot, but more, because it's cooler.
A lot more.
All today, right here on Shout Out.
I feel like I'm getting better at the baritone.
Well, you also had a drummer behind you on that.
I did. Yeah.
Hello, Terry.
Hello.
How are we all? Nice and cool.
I'm in here, but I got mocked profusely earlier by my co-host, Mr. Shilton, for wearing a long sleeve t-shirt.
Well, you were complaining it was hot, and you were in a long sleeve black
t-shirt.
T-shirt.
Yeah, t-shirt. I don't know where that came from, but you're welcome. Yeah.
I mean, if you're sensitive to the heat, you should kind of fall in love with the colour white, not the colour black.
I know. And yeah. I've been wearing lots of white T-shirts and lots of aircon, lots of sat in front of fans. I mean, I have lots of fans, but also been sat in front of a lot of them.
See what you did there.
Thank you. I'm here for the next 50-something minutes.
Hello, lovely Bunny. How are you?
I'm okay.
So, yes. bit not nice, and now it's cooled down a little bit. We've had a bit of rain.
It is freezing in this studio.
It is,
which is the aircon's on full whack.
So, as I've been saying for about 3 weeks, if we bring batteries for the remote control, I can turn it back up a little bit. But since they've gone flat,
we can't afford batteries.
No.
They're being used elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure. Ez?
Yes?
What have you done with them?
With what? Sorry.
See, unawares.
I can be. I mean, it's been a long day. But we have got a really, really amazing show tonight. I'm very excited to listen to the interview with Joelle. It's a very important subject and should, you know, everything to do with the LGBTQR+ community needs to be talked about more.
So can we have the battery, Mike?
Yeah, all right. When? What now?
You completely missed that bit of the conversation, didn't you?
I was just thinking about the show. Sorry, I was very monofocused and being professional and not listening to...
About the telly remote.
Do you actually need batteries?
We do, yeah. The aircon's on like minus 10 and the batteries are gone.
I thought you just winded me up. I don't know what's happening. I'm only just about sure it's Thursday.
Yeah, look, you can tell it's cold.
listeners, Steph there did like a brrr where she put her hands in her armpits and faked being cold, didn't you?
I did, of course I did.
Yeah. So now, this is it's not a two-part, it's an extra long interview this one. So we've only got one in this show. So I thought I would dig up something else to give you a little bit of fun in between. Now, if you know the answer to this, don't say yet, because I'll let you know what the answer is at the end of the show. But I thought I'd have a little bit of a dig back through our history, LGBT plus history, that is, and find some interesting things and see if you can guess what it is. If I went back to the 1950s and called you a Gillette blade, what would I be referring to?
Sword.
What? A sword?
Yeah.
Wilkinson's sword is where she went.
Yeah. No, Gillette blade.
Gillette blade.
Yeah, was a sword, wasn't it? Didn't the Three Musketeers use them?
They called Gillette blades.
Gillette.
You might be right, to be fair, but I don't think that's what Andy meant.
Well, it doesn't matter what he meant, it's what's right.
Right. I have no idea.
So I'll be telling you the answer at the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
But I thought I would put it out there.
Polari term, is it?
No, it's not. It was around the time when gay men were very much using Polari. Mm. So there was a lot of things meaning other things. Mm. But I'll give you a clue before the news if you're not sure.
Okay.
So it's interesting. I thought you'd have known that one. You're like the fountain of all knowledge. It was very widely used in the UK and the US, which is quite interesting when you think that we didn't have the internet back then.
Yeah.
But in the 1950s and 60s, the term Gillette blade was used a lot to mean something. So answers on the postcard.
I okay.
So Zesco's, what's one of them?
Oh, no. One loves a postcard.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. My wonderful folks send me a few a year. And do you remember, Stephanie, when we went to Italy and decided to post a postcard in one of the towns and they assured us it will get there in 2 weeks? How long did that postcard take?
I think
take?
They got it just before Christmas.
They got it in 4 months.
Oh, really?
Was it four? It was January.
Was your handwriting that bad?
January. My hand, no, but it was spectacular. My parents have got it on their fridge.
Well, obviously the Italian Post walk it there to, you know.
Yeah.
Greenhouse gases and all that.
Yeah. All that and all that jazz. But yeah, no, I don't know what that means. So I'm looking forward to hearing about it.
Do me a favour. Don't look it up. Feel free to ask some questions in between, and I'll give you a hint before the news.
Okay, I'll think of some.
So, well, you could look it up. It's really easy this day and age just to go on the internet and go, oh, but that kind of ruins the fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
a little bit.
But yeah, Gillette Blade. So anyway, interview time. I think Steph, you did this one, didn't you?
Yes, yeah, really fantastic organisation pushing back against the current Trump administration's default to wipe trans people off the planet. And it's incredible because they're probably in the worst state that could possibly be in current climate in the States, Texas.
Mm.
And all the good work that they do is actually shared with other states so it can be mirrored and help other trans people. Great person. Joel's nails. I mean, obviously, this is radio, couldn't see it, but OMG.
Okay. Was that important to the story?
Or of
just
course, because they were fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely fabulous.
What made them fabulous?
The nails.
Yeah.
Because they were about 6 inches long. They looked lethal, but the colours were amazing. Each nail was coloured separately with multicolours and that and glitter, and oh, it was lush.
See, how do you use a keyboard when you've got really long nails?
How do you wipe your bum?
Come on! No, thank you.
Only I know with the keyboard, you use the pads of your fingers, don't you?
Yeah, but it's very easy if the nails are really long. I've watched Lara doing it, and it's
What? Wipe her bum?
No, use a keyboard.
Oh, right.
So you clearly don't have long fingernails, do you?
I do not. No.
You can tell the Somersetarians from the Bristolians here, can't you?
Yeah.
I have decorum.
Well,
to who?
Yeah, some of the begins with D. So, anyway, should we have the interview?
Around the world at the moment, especially in countries like the USA and the UK, there's a lot of pressure on trans people at the moment. And that generally is focused on trans women. Now, the same is said in the USA and the USA as well. We all know that Trump is very anti-LGBTQIA. Now, I'm joined by Joelle, who is an advocacy director for the Normal Anomaly Initiative. Now, obviously, I'll be asking Joelle about that, which is working in partnership with the University of Houston Sustain Center. Is advancing TAC and SAGES, which is Trans Ally Collective Scholars in Action for Gender Expansive Services, a groundbreaking program led by Black transgender women that centers community-driven research, healing, and care. Welcome to the show, Joel. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Right. First of all, let's have a competition. What's the temperature where you are?
Oh, God. So I am in Houston, Texas, which is in the South USA. So it is currently reaching 100 degrees.
Wow.
So we will have a string of days where we are either at 100, or I think tomorrow it's actually going to be like 102 or 103.
Okay. Well, we work in centigrade over here, so but we're nowhere near 100 Fahrenheit. Today was a mild 27. Hey, I've just noticed, because obviously, although the listeners can't see the video, your nails, Joel, are absolutely incredible.
They are. So I love, that is probably, my favorite color is black, but I love like fun, colorful, very long nails.
And they are very long. Yeah, they look lethal, actually.
They could be. They could very well be.
Right, let's take you back to your childhood growing up. Now, you were obviously born with gender dysphoria. You're a trans woman of color. So let's go through your childhood. Were your family supportive when you were growing up?
So, you know, it's so interesting because when I was probably about four, I told my parents that, and they were in the midst of a divorce, that, you know, mom, dad, I'm a girl. I am a girl. And I mean, they thought that I didn't know what I was talking about. You know, they were devastated. They're going through their own, you know, trials and tribulations. But I was very, very firm in like, I am a girl. You know, I am supposed to be a girl. And I kind of, you know, as time passed, I, even though I wasn't outwardly expressing my gender, I still kept that inside. And it wasn't until I graduated high school and went to college that I actually began to explore my gender identity more, because I had more freedom and more flexibility to kind of explore it. But even though I wasn't able to outwardly express kind of my feminine gender identity, I still was very feminine in my presentation. You know, I know that nowadays we use the term non-binary, but I would say, you know, back then in the 90s, it was androgynous. You know, it was more of like an androgynous type of presentation.
Yeah. So did you actually enjoy college? Did you get on okay?
I did. You know, I enjoyed everything. Regardless of kind of my trans journey, my gender identity, I enjoyed everything. I tried to make the most of every chapter and every phase of my life. And I tried to really push my own self as far as like presentation, and also just taking advantage of the freedoms and the privileges that I did have, because I did have more freedom and more flexibility in terms of like presentation and gender expression.
Your parents seemed to be quite supportive, although they had their own issues going on at the same time, which did make that more difficult for you. How was college and that when you were exploring yourself? Did you have friends around you that were very supportive?
I did. So my friends were, I've always leaned on friends and community as a source of support. And it was actually in college where I officially started my trans journey. I'm one of my closest friends. She, you know, I met her because I was a RA, I was a resident advisor, and she moved into my dorm, and I didn't know that she was trans. I didn't know she was transgender. And so when I met her, we instantly bonded. And it was kind of through her that I opened up my eyes to, you know, what my journey could look like. And it didn't have to look like what anyone else's journey looked like, because this was 2003, where there wasn't a lot of expression, there wasn't a lot of visibility or representation. And so even early on, as I started my trans journey, I always had an immense amount of support from family, from friends, from community.
Mm. Do you think back then, though, the things have got worse in quite a few places around the planet in the 21st century? Well, I don't know about you, but I always thought the 21st century would be this sort of magical Star Trek type place full of diversity, when color didn't matter, when gender didn't matter, when sexuality didn't matter. But it's turning out to be quite a bit different to that. And like you, I was transitioning through the 90s and into the noughties, but it didn't seem to matter so much then. It was, you just led your life and no one seemed to take any notice. But now the far right have pointed a finger, and as you're probably aware, this happened 100 years ago nearly in 1934, when the Nazis started on the trans community, burnt a massive library down that somebody had built up, years and years worth of trans stories that was burnt. And we know what happened with that story next, don't we? With the Holocaust and that. I'm not saying we're going to get to that point, but it is worrying people around the world. We got some satellite areas like the European Union. We've got South Asia, India. Both those Supreme Courts have said that trans women are women, trans men are men. And that is making a huge difference, especially to the UK. So what is it like in the state? I'm guessing, because of what we hear about Texas, it's not a good place at the moment to be a trans person. So all kudos to you, Joel, for having your head above the parapet, my love.
Thank you for that. Thank you. So to give some perspective, so in the United States, the transgender population makes up less than 2% of the population. But we continue to be the number one talking point politically. So whether it is transgender affirming care or it is transgender sports bans, the transgender community continues to be the number one talking point. And I think it's come with it's kind of the byproduct of increased visibility and representation, which has come because of, you know, the explosion of social media and how we are all connected in many more ways than were before. As far as Texas, which has the largest transgender population in the United States, also is the murder capital when we think about the murders of transgender people, specifically trans women, Black trans women, with Houston having, you know, some of the highest rates of murders of Black trans women. This year alone, we saw at least two Black trans women in Houston be murdered. One was recently discovered less than 2 months ago. So it is rough. It is grim. I do, you know, we do see some of the pushback and we do see the pendulum swinging against kind of this conservative anti-trans agenda. But the reality is there is this wave of anti-transness coming, whether it is just simply rhetoric, misinformation, or more importantly, legislation against the trans community.
I can't really feel what the danger you must feel, because we don't have that amount of murders in the UK. We're not allowed, no one carries guns, not even our police force, unless they're specialists. So we don't see guns like you do. And I'm assuming Texas is probably one of the worst states for the amount of guns sold to people and being able to buy them in supermarkets. And that is something I don't think that people in the UK or the rest of Europe come to that can understand. That must make you feel very vulnerable. Now, you don't have to answer this, Joel, but do you carry a gun with you because of feeling that unsafe?
So it's interesting. I wasn't born in Texas. I was actually born in Germany. Both my parents were in the service, and I moved around a lot. But I consider Los Angeles, California, as kind of my home or where I'm from. And I actually don't carry a weapon. And I think that what for me in doing community advocacy work and being so immersed in the data of the transgender community and the current, you know, everything that's happening currently, I am more aware, but I don't feel, even as I have this hyper awareness of the current state of being a Black trans woman in the US and in Texas, I still lead with this liberationist lens of like, I'm still going to live my life and continue to lean into joy and the things that make me happy, and celebrate my life and, you know, lean into the communities that, you know, I've helped to curate and create, not just for myself, but just for, you know, for others that look, live, and love like me. I continue to lean into that. And I think that for me creates a very unique experience where, like, yes, Black trans women are getting murdered. Texas is the murder capital. You know, there are these laws and legislation that are against us. But the trans community, specifically the Black and Brown trans community, has a history of continuing to live and thrive in spite of that. And so that is kind of where my personal politic lies. That is also where, you know, the work that I do in community, that's what where it is centered, in continuing to thrive in spite of and not succumbing to that fear and that anti-trans rhetoric.
You're coming across as a very brave person, and I don't want to embarrass you, but that's how it's coming across. And like I said before, we need people like you. The world needs people like you. Now, tell us a little bit more about the organization that you're looking after, you're running, and what that does.
So, yes, so I am proud to, you know, to be the advocacy director for the Normal Anomaly Initiative. We are a organization that is based in Houston, Texas. We do not just local and statewide work, but we do regional and national work that centers reducing barriers through narrative change. And we do that through direct services such as HIV testing, such as providing transportation for community. We also do leadership and advocacy training, which includes our tax ages research cohort and study. But we also do capacity building and research. We do community engagement events. We throw a community festival every year that centers community and joy. But our work really, really centers the things that community not only does well, but the things that community loves, and the joy and the positivity in community, and like hopes and desires, and uplifting that.
Mm. Sounds like you're bringing a little bit of California into Texas.
Yeah, you know, it follows me everywhere. Follows me everywhere.
Nothing wrong with California.
Oh, definitely. Nothing wrong with it.
Do you actually share your expertise with other cities, or are you just focused on Houston? Do you take in other parts of Texas? Do you move out of state?
So we do. So the beautiful thing about the work of the Normal Anomaly is we're not only engaged in local work. We love our city. We love Houston, but we are engaged in statewide work. We are, you know, currently in the process are one of our flagship programs, Project Liberate, which is a social enterprise or a program that centers social enterprising, is expanding to be a regional program. But we also travel, speak at conferences, and we engage in organizations that are not just in Texas, but across the South and across the country.
Really is good that other people are actually able to grasp hold of your expertise and build something for themselves, like sharing what you're doing with your community and actually then mirroring that in places like Dallas or even out of state.
Because it's really about not being the only one, and it's really about creating models that not just work, but that are scalable and that can be replicated everywhere.
That must help with you, with your head well above the parapet here, Joel. It must help queer people of color to know that someone like you has stood there and got their backs and there to help, and they're not alone, and they can see people like you and they can identify with you and think, wow, that's me, or I'm very similar to that.
It does. We definitely meet community where they are and let them know, like, visibility and representation is important, and understanding that, you know, to your point, they're not alone. And they have the answer, and they are the answer. And we do this work with community, and we are led by community. We are not the saviors, or we are not, you know, dragging them along or leading them. Like, we do it in conjunction with community and actually being led by community, because they are the experts, they have the answer, and we are just, you know, the conduits by which that answer is delivered.
So basically what you're doing, you're empowering people, which is really, mm-hmm. really worthwhile, because it mm-hmm. gives people something to look at and look forward to. It lets them see a future.
And that's where there is sustainable change. It is empowering and uplifting them and providing them with the tools and resources to exact the change.
Mm. Now, we haven't got much time left, Joel, so I want to go on to any plans you've got with your group going forward that you're actually not doing now but plan to do.
So, yes, so we are, so one of the programs that I lead is our Tax Sages program, which uplifts and empowers Black trans women in community as change makers and leaders. So we are at the end of phase one of a research study that we do in partnership with the University of Houston, with their Graduate College of Social Work, their Sustain Coordinating Center. And so we are currently in the full analysis phase of that, of the study. We just completed that. And so we are now presenting those findings. So the findings are currently being presented at International AIDS Conference in Rio in a poster presentation, but we'll be presenting it next month at USCHA, which is United States Conference on AIDS. And we will we're actually also in the beginning phases of writing a paper. We have a book chapter that we are working on. So we are really working on, after completing the full analysis, disseminating the data and then seeing how we can expand and exact more change and continue to uplift the work of Tax Sages.
Hmm. Have you ever been to Brazil before?
I have not.
I bet you're looking forward to that, aren't you?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, let's get into your socials so people can follow you, Joelle. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of people wanting to follow you and see what you're up to day by day. And also your website address, please.
Yeah, so our organization socials is The Normal Anomaly. It's our name on all social media platforms, on Instagram, on Facebook, I believe on Twitter, it's _ Normal Anomaly. And our website is www.normalanomaly.org, where they could find out about all of our programming, upcoming events, a little more about the history of the Normal Anomaly, and they can follow all of the work that we're doing.
Brilliant. That's so good, Joelle. And hopefully you'll get some hits on your website after this goes out. And all power to you, Joelle. And it's quite impressive what you do. And please keep us updated. Email us through your agent or direct if you want, because we'd like to know what happened in Brazil and any follow-ups.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you very much for being with us on Shoutout.
Thank you. Thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. Podcast.
Well, that ended.
Sorry, that was my fault. I was there singing, listeners, and I was thinking about, look at that body and work out.
Who was that, Andy?
LMFAO.
What does that stand for?
Laughing my flipping ass off.
I bet it don't.
I bet it do, my love. I love that song. I've seen them live. I was saying off air.
Have you? I have.
And they were absolutely fantastic. They're great with the crowd. They're a lot of fun. But I was also saying, not that you could hear me because my mic wasn't up and it should be throughout the entirety of the show.
Yeah, we're so sorry.
They are very talented producers. You can't make music like that unless you, well, you couldn't at that time.
They've had quite a few songs.
But it reminds me of The Darkness, because they ridiculed The Darkness and Justin, the lead singer, and said,
I believe
they were
in
just
a thing called love. Yeah, I can't go that high.
But
that was a hot hit song. It made him an absolute fortune.
Well, every song that they brought out, I think there was like 8 worldwide top 10 hits. So The Last Laugh was with them, really. He's got his own YouTube channel. I saw him recently.
He went very quiet, didn't he, The Darkness?
He went to rehab.
Oh, right. Okay. I didn't know that. Apologies.
So Justin went to rehab and he then had a sort of time of recovery away from social media. And then he came back, not with music, well, with music, but with his YouTube show, where he listens to other musicians and reflects on what they're doing. But it looks like there may be a potential.
It is very, very sad that you get some amazingly talented people who get caught up in the world of drugs or alcohol or something. Like we've just lost the lovely girl that played the cheerleader in Heroes. Yeah. She's just very sadly passed away, hasn't she?
Yeah. Pant, yeah.
It's historical, though, however, isn't it? Because you go back to the 60s and they were all on LSD. That's why some great music and psychedelic
it's become music very different was created. Now, from psychedelics. Now we've got, you know, we've got crystal meth and we've got very mixed drugs. Yeah. You know, it's LSD at that time, I mean, it's man-made. But even if you were to compare then to now, the LSD you would take now is far more toxic. Yeah. There's a lot of toxicity within the drug world.
A lot
now.
More addiction.
But
too,
Hayden Panettiere,
she was a lovely actress. She was so good. I wasn't aware how many other things she'd been in as well. Yeah.
But that's a very layered. That's a very layered. So there's a lot of stuff coming out at the moment. Sadly, I need to think about how I word this. Severe predatorial behaviour of very, very, very much older men from a very young age. So I think there was a lot of difficulties that she was going through, and she was trying to tell the world what happened when she just before she passed. So there's things going on behind the scenes, investigative things.
Yeah, but we've had it with quite a lot, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. I mean, Brittany Murphy,
Robin Williams.
Thinking of Rob,
although that wasn't drugs, that was depression, wasn't it?
He had Lewy body dementia, but thought that he was heading into another psychosis. So he
was into drugs heavily when he was doing.
Oh yeah, and then got very sober.
Morecambe Mindy.
Cocaine.
Morecambe Mindy guy.
Yeah.
Call it awesome. Coming awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I love that show. Beautiful, man.
Yeah. So, and I recently saw Hook advertised
on Hook.
TV. That's one for Christmas.
What
though,
talent,
Hook.
Though.
He was so talented.
What a loss
yeah.
to the world. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah. What time of year?
Sorry, I said the C word.
You did say the C word.
It's beginning to look a lot like...
No, there you go.
Honestly...
Halloween.
I've heard the first commercials creeping in. Just reference events later in the year.
Do you know what I think? Hang on, Robin Williams we were talking about. He plays... a better gay guy than gay guys.
That's another conversation. If you're referring to Birdcage,
he's brilliant in that. Because what's the name of the character, the actor he's in it with?
Well, we love him. I'm hideous.
Oh, yeah, the one who screams.
He is actually gay in real life, isn't he?
He didn't come out for a long, long time because he thought he'd end his career.
He is still alive.
We're talking about him in the past.
Robin is past tense. Yeah. But,
I'll look it up and tell you.
Has anyone seen La Cage aux Folles, which was the French
original?
That
was the Birdcage.
Yes.
La Cage aux Folles means the Birdcage.
It doesn't. It means the Cage of Fools, I believe.
Cage of Fools.
It doesn't mean Birdcage, but. But you're absolutely right. It's the film from which the Birdcage is based on.
And it's where I Am What I Am comes from. So now, very quickly before we get the news, any guesses on Gillette Blade?
No, you got us on that one.
Do you know, my little brain said, I don't shave because I'm really gay. So is it to do with like being a lesbian? And I'm not a lesbian, I'm pan, but is it to do with something like that?
Interestingly, it was used to describe a type of lesbian. I don't know why.
Butch.
No.
Oh.
No.
Said Butch a lot then.
No,
sorry.
I don't know why it wasn't used with men. I think it was more because the male equivalent was a Polari term at the time. But when,
so
when I tell
am
you,
I slightly
I'm sure...
close with that? With my. Because.
No.
Oh.
No.
Gosh, I've only shaved about 10 times in my life and it's been sad every time.
Actually, I think it was a person, wasn't it? The Gillette.
Gillette, it was. It was a
back
man who invented the
three,
he invented
three
the Gillette blade.
It's
nothing to do with Three Musketeers.
they had Gillette blades, and they did.
I don't know where your mind
goes.
It's not Gérard
Depardieu. It's not Antonio Banderas. also known as the cat in Shrek, Puss in Boots. I don't think it's to do with sword fighting and all that. We are wanging them swords. That sounded far. Sorry, listeners, I'm going to shut up. I don't know where the term comes from. Thanking you.
Gillette blade is the term we're on about. It was very common in the 1950s and 1960s. More used to describe a certain type of female of our LGBT plus spectrum.
So when do we get the answer to this?
I'll give it to you at the end of the show.
End of the show.
In the meantime, should we get some news headlines?
Of course. This is Shout Out News. Welcome along. Television can be a force for good and for education, and the majority of news channels are known in Britain for relatively high standards and accuracy. But GB News is not part of that tradition. Inspired by the worst excesses of American television shock content, the network has in recent months aired all sorts of bizarre conspiracy theories, including one as old as The Hills, that gay men are paedophiles, and that LGBT plus parents will abuse children they have adopted. But thanks to work by campaigners led by the Good Law Project, the broadcast regulator Ofcom have finally been persuaded to intervene. The Good Law Project explains in a press release, together with campaigners such as Bimini, Liam Rondi and Love Queers, we've forced Ofcom to investigate GB News over LGBTQ plus slurs again. Earlier this summer, a right-wing influencer called Based and Boogie was on GB News, claiming that gay men are, quote, more prone to sexual deviancy and child sexual assault with their adopted children, end quote. And Caroline Farrow from Citizen Go, a lobby group which campaigns against abortion and LGBTQ rights around the world, claimed that Pride is not about gay rights and that it has become about celebrating bestiality, she said, and minor attracted people, a code for paedophiles. Under the broadcast code, TV channels can only air hate speech when it's justified by the context, such as to preserve historical accuracy. But, said the Good Law Project, there is no justification for GB News broadcasting these homophobic attacks. So we pushed back. We filed a detailed complaint over Farrow's remarks about Pride, and 15,000 people also filed their own complaints. Together, we won. Julia Curley writes this week for the respected US-based current affairs journal The Atlantic. She details her work for the CIA and expertise in the field of intelligence. Until, that is, as a transgender woman, she was dismissed by the Trump administration. Julia's revelations form part of a major exploration in the magazine of Trumpist stupidity and MAGA extremism to be published in the October issue of The Atlantic, out at the end of August. For further information and to read more, you can visit The Atlantic magazine's website at allthews.theatlantic.com. In sports news, Diva magazine, Europe's best-selling lesbian and bi women's magazine, reports that Paralympian hero Robin Love is helping promote the National Childbirth Trust on BBC Radio 4 after she and her loving partner, Laurie Williams, turned to the trust for help preparing for the birth of their daughter. Becoming a parent for the first time brings a real mix of thrill, worry and pressure, and many expectant couples turn to trusted organisations for guidance. That's exactly what Robin and Laurie did, reaching out to the NCT for antenatal advice and reassurance during their own journey into parenthood. Now, 3 years on, Robin is lending her voice to the UK charity, fronting its BBC Radio 4 appeal. The broadcast, which aired on Sunday, aims to generate much-needed funding for NCT's free infant feeding support, which is available to families of all types up and down the country. Robin acknowledged that LGBTQIA+ families can often be conscious of assumptions around language when it comes to pregnancy, which does not always reflect their reality. Having that recognised within NCT spaces was something she greatly appreciated. In Scene News, LGBT London magazine QX reports that among a plethora of queer teams now playing in London's amateur football leagues, Charlton Invicta are busy ahead of the new football season. In the world of grassroots football, Charlton Invicta FC stands out as a club built on a simple but powerful idea that the beautiful game should be open to all. Established with a specific aim of creating a safe, welcoming space for LGBTQIA+ people, irrespective of race or gender, the club is driven by clear objectives. These include promoting association football, arranging matches, competitions and social events for their members, and encouraging wider community participation in sport. Charlton Invicta currently operates 4 teams, each catering to different levels of ambition and experience. 2 of these are competitive sides competing in Division 1 and Division 2 of the London Unity League, where where matches take place on Sunday afternoons across London against the whole network of LGBTQ plus football clubs. The third team plays in the Gay Football Supporters Network Division 1 League nationally, as well as its Cup and Shield competitions. Once the fixture lists are officially confirmed, they will be published on the LUL and GFSN websites. For more information as well about the club, you can go to allthews.cactinvictaafc.com. And finally, staying with the international queer scene, Queer Cultural Journal, them, reports this week on changing body types within the bear subculture of gay, bi and transgender men, which since the 1980s has given chubbier and hairier men a home, sexual partners and boasts even its own flag as well as its own media and events. As groundbreaking medications for shedding pounds, the GLP-1 class of drugs including Zepbound, Wegovy, Ozempic and Mounjaro become ever more widespread, an intriguing question has emerged. Are the bears okay? Richard Jones, who founded and edits a Bear World magazine, insists the community spirit remains robust. We're losing a little bit of weight, but we're still a community and we're thriving, he said. Jones and his husband have both dropped several pounds whilst taking drugs to manage type 2 diabetes, yet they remain substantial men who profoundly and proudly identify as bears. The community embraces everything from muscle bears and younger cubs to heavyset men with generous bellies, abundant body hair and full beards. As Jones put it, being a bear is very much a state of mind. Far from losing members to the new drugs, Provincetown Bear Week appears to be going from strength to strength. This year, official figures for the year's event have yet to be confirmed, but are estimated to be in excess of 30,000 participants. Well, that's another week of LGBTQIA news summaries. But there is so much more online. Why not start your exploration of the queer web at shoutoutradio.lgbt? For Shoutout News, I've been a bear and I'm going to go grrr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
Lovely bit of sash there. So that was Colour of the World.
I love a bit of sash.
Hello.
Oh, darning.
Ooh, oh, dodgy cable.
Bit crinkly. crinkly over there.
Sash.
It's like we got back to the 20s with a crinkly radio.
What did sash do? Was it?
Oh, Encore en Foi was the first big hit he had. Do you remember?
Encore en Foi, yeah.
And then he did them in different languages. So you had Bellissima, Stay, which was the English one.
Yeah, big.
And then he did some other, like Colour of the World was basically one of the final ones he did that was like everywhere.
So big club really hits of the 90s, yes.
Yeah, in fact, that might have even been noughties by the time we got to Colour of the World.
Shocking.
Noughties.
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 I really, really, really miss... anything pre-now. Anything
pre-now? Yeah. Anything so am I taking you back a bit then?
Like, I was reflecting on this the other day. I've recently rebought a tape player, a replica of a tape player that I had in the very early 90s with the replica headphones. You know, the orange foam headphones.
Yes.
You know what? It's mine and Bear's. What did I say? Tape player.
You said replica.
Yeah, Walkman, sorry.
Yeah, Walkman. It was first. Yeah. And
so, there are Sony.
People your age and older, like all of us in this room, will have very fond memories of as the batteries wore down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I have those memories.
And the need, even when when at secondary school you progressed to a fountain pen.
Oh, I know, madness.
Why you needed to keep an HB pencil to wind your tape back up every time you got chewed up.
Oh, no, see, I lived that life. I lived that life. And also,
I was here before the Game Boy.
And when I got the Game Boy, I was here before the backlight. But last night, I had a lovely selection of everything from Justin Bieber, which, listeners, Andy will deny this, is his favourite present, to Phil Collins.
I was half expecting you to turn up with said... Justin, would you like to tell the audience Justina what you got for your birthday?
Yeah, so I was recently 21 and my friend, my very, very good friend Alex, and my other lovely friend Wade, her husband and her their beautiful children, decided that what do you get a person who has most of the things what they want? You get them a near life-size Justin Bieber, circa, I don't know, he's about 20.
Okay. He looks about 8.
No, he does. He's like a sultry. This is when he brought out, like, what do you mean? And is it too late to say sorry? Probably.
And the first thing I did with it, hide it in the toilet.
Actually scared the bejesus out of me.
Facing the door so as open as that door.
Yeah, I'm glad I was going to the toilet.
It was a little bit of a scream.
Oh, it was, yeah, my feet lifted off floor. So yeah, he's currently actually folded in half because I don't trust Steph.
I bet he can't do that anymore.
I don't know. Is it, what is he? Oh, 1995 he was born, Ontario, Canada, if you wanted to know. Middle name Drew. Anyway, he is folded in half at the moment because I don't trust Steph, and I think there'll be a time where I'm just about to get into bed and a little Bieber head's gonna be popping up from me duvet. Which, you know, if it was a real him, we could have a cud, but yeah, so it was a lovely present. It was a lovely birthday.
Now, going back to what I was talking about, top of show.
Yeah.
I've been trying to find some things, you know, because we do forget our own history. It's like we've done a show on Polari, but we haven't done that in 15 years.
No.
I mean, it was hilarious trying to do the show in Polari, as I recall, especially the news. And there are a lot of terms that we use today that were part of Polari. The one that springs to mind is the word naff. Everyone knows something is rubbish is naff, a bit of an old thing, but that was part of Polari.
He's heterosexual.
But if you were around in the 1950s or 60s, one of the slang terms you might have used was a Gillette blade. We got no guesses at all.
You knew that was invented in 1901 by King Camp Gillette. And King the original Camp. Term comes from the old French that means small knife or sword.
Yes.
We keep going back to the sword.
Yeah, well, it's not to do with the sword. It is to do with the blade. And one of the things that that blade was famous for was that you could drag it both ways and it would give you a good shave.
Right.
Or if you simplify it, it cuts both ways.
Oh,
and was used very much to say that a woman was bisexual.
What?
Now, why they didn't do it with men, I don't know. But it was more common to refer to... A bisexual woman as a Gillette blade.
There was a very, very long time where being bisexual in and of itself was not acceptable. Mm. And where people within the LGBTQR plus community actually would say, pick a side. Not all, of course, but that was
present. There were other terms that then took over as certain bands became famous. AC/DC became another one that then was used to refer to bisexuality.
Oh.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, it is interesting. I really like the history of it. Maybe we should have, like, over the next few weeks, a little bit more of this because I like learning. And
that was kind of my thought.
Good.
I might see if I can dig the other one out every now and again.
See
if you can guess what it might mean. So, Gillette blade.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
As far as I'm aware, it wasn't used in a derogatory way. It was just genuinely used as a descriptive term.
Yeah.
So I still love the fact that Bristol's the only place I've ever known with a bisexual night. It was called Greedy's.
Greedy's.
I thought that was the best name
ever. To be honest, it's like, take it back. Take the power back. Take the power back, you wonderful bisexuals, you.
Yeah, and it is very interesting what you're saying, Ez, about, you know, there were elements within the wider... Yeah, gay community, as it was known at the time in the 70s, which was very anti-bisexual. Has to be said, it was that very small minority of radical feminists who these days would be... TERFs.
Well,
they were very anti-bisexual.
Even in the 90s, I remember being told that that it wasn't really a thing and it was what you said when you were coming out.
Yeah.
And I know that's not
shocking.
True.
That's what I was told.
I was 18 and no one told me what being gay was and what it meant and the like. You know, but I do remember people saying, oh, it's not really a thing. We know it is now. I'm not saying it isn't. But
I was literally told by... So, just for context, because we're coming to the
show. That you were weird.
I was part of the Lujbetaqua group at my college. And I was also part of the Christian group. And the Christian group thought this would be very Christian of them. This is just my own experience, listeners, to create their group on the same day and time as the LGBTQIA group. So I had to choose. And I remember trying to explain to the LGBTQIA+ people that actually I was bisexual. And they literally said, well, then you can't sit with us. Thank goodness we have come
to
where we are.
We've moved on since then, haven't we?
Because I love bisexuals.
You're
I love everyone within the queer community.
You've gone pan.
I've gone pan. Yeah, I just woke up one day. I was like, oh, I'm pan. Oh, sorry.
Here's the outro.
Right, I'm ready.
The outro, guys.
Let's do it. So,
I'm not sure we have enough time for it now.
Go on, go, quick.
I just want to say, like, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
See you next week. Indonesia goes backwards next week.
Yeah. Indonesia goes backwards.
See you same time, same place next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.